Well, that was pretty wonderful. If you would, please, we're going to reread or open with rereading a scripture we looked at last week in Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. You know, in looking at some of these truths regarding the one body and some of the things that we're going to be looking at, it starts to become clear, or the importance starts to become clear of seeing the big picture. You know, we're going to look at some scriptures, and not today, but we're going to look at some scriptures in Romans 12, some other places, Colossians. And it talks about loving one another. Loving without hypocrisy. And that means a genuine love. That section of Romans 12 closes with loving your enemies. It's easy to read. Easy to read. We don't render evil for evil. Easy to read. But when somebody intentionally does evil to you, see, and what you start to see is, again, it's that big picture. And I'll explain that a little more as we go. And to do that, let's start in Ephesians chapter 2 and reread what something we read last week. And I'm going to begin it in verse 18. And it says, "For through him," referring to Jesus Christ, "we both, Jew, Gentile, have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now, therefore, you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom," Christ, "all the building, fitly, perfectly framed together, grows unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit." That's something. A habitation or a sanctuary for God through the Spirit. And that's referring to that Spirit which we received, which is mentioned in Ephesians 1. So go back to the first chapter of Ephesians. We're going to read a couple verses here. Ephesians chapter 1. We're going to begin it in verse 9. It says, "Having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself," or in Christ. You know, God determined some things that he was going to do in Christ. And it began back in Genesis 3:15. But when he spoke it, he had the end in mind. That big picture. Verse 10, "that in the administration," the dispensation or the administration, "of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom," Christ, "also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who works all things after the counsel of his own will. That, here's the purpose of why he did what he did. That we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted or previously hoped in Christ, referring to Israel. In whom you also, after that you heard the word of truth, and the gospel of your salvation or your deliverance, in whom also, after that you believed, were sealed with that Holy Spirit of what?
Promise.
Of promise. That Holy Spirit of promise. Which is, that Holy Spirit, is the earnest or the token or the deposit of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. This thing is going to end in God being glorified. That God who gave us Spirit, Holy Spirit, which is a token of where this thing ends, of where this lands. That's what it's all about. So often, when it comes to some of the simple truths from God's Word, it's challenging because of the circumstances with which we are confronted at times. But what we're encouraged to do from God's Word is to get our eyes off of this and onto, do you understand? Under the big picture. And when you start to see things in light of that, then when it comes down to some of the instruction, some of the encouragement that we get from God, living for Him, things like that, you know, we do it in light of that big picture. I want you to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Second Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 14. For the love of Christ constrains us, because we thus judge, or we judge this way, that if one died for all, then we're all what? All were dead. One died for all, then all were dead. That love of Christ constrains us. That love of Christ is what was yanking at his heart. See? And if one died for all, then we're all what? That's the way he saw it. That's the way it was. Because he was constrained by the love of Christ. Romans talks about that love of Christ. Nothing shall separate us from what? That's right. Nothing. Nothing. And Paul thus judged because of that love of Christ. Isn't that something? See, you start to see things a little bit different. Well, here it is. Because we thus judge, if one died for all, then we're all dead. Then we're all dead, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Isn't that something? That they don't live unto themselves, but that they live for him who died and then rose again. Now this is stated in different ways in the epistles. We're going to look at a couple. I want you to turn to Romans. Romans 5. We're going to come back to 2 Corinthians. I guess I should have told you that. Huh? Romans chapter 5. And we're going to read verse 5. It says, and hope makes not ashamed. Okay. That word ashamed, I think most of you understand, it's understood here as disappointed in your expectation or put to shame. See, we're not going to be put to shame regarding our hope. Because the love of God is shed or poured out, shed abroad or poured out in our hearts by Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit, which is what? Given unto us. Now we just read about that Holy Spirit in Ephesians. It was that Holy Spirit of promise, which is a token of what? Our inheritance, that which is to come. The love of God has been poured out in the giving of that Holy Spirit, which is the life of God. That's life of God. And that life of God is a token of what we're going to have in the future. Romans 6. This is such a great section. We'll revisit this at some point down the road. But in Romans chapter 6, verse 5, it reads, "For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection." This planted together is to be unified with. It's a total identification. See, this section is one of the great sections regarding his substitution on our behalf. It's really wonderful. You know, a couple weeks ago we looked at mercy seat. Do you remember that? And how that substitution, where that goat on the Day of Atonement was substituted, and those items that were in the ark that represented certain things. You know, that law, which no man could do. That law, which pointed out man's need for a Savior. The law that man consistently rebelled against was one of the items in that ark. Right? Remember this? One of the other items was the manna. And that manna was given, we read in Deuteronomy, so that man would learn not to live by bread, or bread alone, but by every word that what? Proceeds out of the mouth of God. See, and it's really something, because Israel rebelled against that. And then you had Aaron's rod, and that's the record of that rebellion that took place with Korah and some of the other branches of the Levites who rebelled against Moses and Aaron. And those things were put in that ark and then covered with the mercy seat. Once a year, that the high priest would go in after he cleansed himself, all was prepared. This is the Reader's Digest version. But he would take that goat and he would sprinkle the blood on the mercy seat. Isn't that something? And when God would look at that mercy seat, when he'd look at that ark, what he saw was the blood. That's what he saw. That sacrifice. Do you understand? And that's what this is dealing with here. It's that sacrifice of Jesus Christ on our behalf. That's why we're in Christ. We're in him. In him. See? So when God looks at us, who's he see? Christ. It's really remarkable. Verse 6, "Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed," or unemployed, rendered inactive, "that henceforth we should not serve or be enslaved to sin." Isn't that great? That old man is dead. This phrase, old man, is used a couple more times in the epistles, which we're not going to deal with today. But the way it's used here is simply stating it as an accomplished reality. See? It's an accomplished reality. We are new. We'll see that in a few minutes. See, and that old man was crucified with him. When he died, we died with him. and all the benefits of dying, resulting in the freedom from sin we receive. When he was raised, we were raised with him. And all the benefits of being raised, see, that's how we are to walk. And we have the life from God to do it. Without the life from God, this would be an academic study. But with the life from God, now it's real. This stuff's real. We can really walk. We can really live under God. We can really look at our Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that something? And he really works in us to will to do of his good pleasure. See, all of those things are real because of Spirit, because of that life of God that we've received. And that's why we can do the things that God encourages us to do as his own. See? Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of the sin might be destroyed, and henceforth we should not serve or be enslaved to sin. For he that is dead is freed or justified or made righteous from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dies no more. Death has no more dominion over him, for in that he died unto the sin once, but in that he lives unto who? Unto God. He lives unto God. Just like this is what this means. Just like this. Reckon ye yourselves to be dead indeed unto the sin, but alive unto God. See? And it should read in Jesus Christ. Alive unto who?
God.
Alive unto God. In Corinthians, it's that you should not live unto yourselves, but unto him. See? Who died and rose again. Isn't that something? See? Let's go to Romans chapter 12. Romans 12. Verse 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a what? A living sacrifice. Holy, sanctified, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable or logical service. Here it's a living sacrifice unto who?
God.
Unto God. You know, prior to Christ, in the Old Testament, you had dead sacrifices. You and I, with the life of God in us, are to be a what?
Living.
A living sacrifice. See? A living sacrifice. And verse 2 begins to explain, and be not what?
Conformed
to this world. You know what that means in a nutshell? You know, I don't need to share any Greek words. I don't need to do anything like that. It just basically means you don't think like the world thinks anymore. You don't let the world dictate how you see things, how you react to things, how you do things. Because you've got the life of God in you. Those who don't have the life of God can't do that. They have to think like the world thinks. Isn't that something? We don't do that. We're of God. We're a living sacrifice unto God. We're alive unto God. We don't live under ourselves anymore, but unto him who died and rose again. See? And we do that with our end in mind. Because honestly, and it's tough to realize it. It's tough to see it sometimes. But this stuff, this life, is so temporary. It is so temporary. And none of this stuff is going to mean much, if anything, when it comes to being gathered together with him. Whether we have fallen asleep and are raised, or whether he comes while we're alive, really makes no difference. Really makes no difference. And then that is for eternity. Isn't that something? So when you start seeing these things in light of that, see, a living sacrifice. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I want you to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6. We're on our way to Galatians. But I wanted to read this verse. You know, the context to this is idols and walking in love, really. It's really about walking in love, walking in love towards your brothers. And being aware that, you know, what you do isn't a stumbling block to your brothers. How you conduct yourself, how you carry yourself. And this section ends in verse 20 with, "For you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body." Isn't that something? Our lives. The only way we can do that is by way of the Spirit of God and the Word of God. See? Isn't that something? See, it's life. It's real. That Spirit of God is real. It has desires that are different than your flesh. See? So, let's go to Galatians chapter 2. Each one of us is worth the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. What kind of love is that? Every one of us was worth the life of Jesus Christ to the Father. That's, I didn't know what to say to that. Galatians 2. I'd like to pick it up in 19. It says, "For I, through the law, am dead to the law, that I might live unto" who? Unto God. It's similar to what we just read in Romans 6, isn't it? Verse 20. "I am or was crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ," what? "Lives in me." See? That's that Spirit. That's that Spirit that we have. All of us have it. "And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the believing of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." See? And then the next words say, "I do not frustrate the grace of God." See, this is what grace looks like. It's living unto God. It is living for him who died and rose again by way of that life that God poured out, demonstrating his love. And all we did was believe on Jesus Christ. That's all we did. That's all we did to get this life from God. That's all we did to be for the opportunity, the privilege, the honor to be called sons of the living God. That's all we did to be gathered together with Jesus Christ and to have a body fashioned like unto his glorious body one day, to come back to the earth with him, to reign for all of eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ and with God the Creator. Duh. See? You know, that's who we are. That's where we're headed. So when we read these scriptures about renewed mind, about living unto him, keeping your eyes on him, keeping your eyes on Christ, get your eyes off yourself. One of the tragic things that took place in Galatia was that they were getting tricked back into law. Well, you know what law does? It puts your eyes on who? On yourself. And when your eyes are on yourself, it gets tough to love one another because you start comparing one another. Your eyes are off of Christ. And these things are so critical, especially in light of, you know, where we're going to head here in just a few minutes. But that I might live unto God, I don't frustrate the grace of God. Let's go to Colossians chapter 3. We're almost done. But this is great stuff to think about. Great stuff to see, great stuff to realize. Because sometimes, boy, it's tough. Sometimes it is. It's challenging to walk in love. It is. It's easy to love people that love you. That's easy. That's like fun. See? But you get in situations where it's not so easy. And so, what am I looking at? Chapter 3, verse 1. Love these verses. I guess you guys have figured that out over the years. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. That's a different view of things. Set your thinking, your mind, on things above, not on things on the earth. See? On things above. You know, Hebrews talks about waiting for Him to return. That's something. It also talks about looking unto Him who's the beginner and finisher of our believing. See? It's really something. It's thinking about those things. It's seeing things in light of those things. That's where our affections, our thoughts, our thinking lie. See? And when I start to see that big picture, then I begin to see other things differently. See? This thing that was so difficult for me is now, it's not that big a deal. Yeah, he hurt me. He did. See, I can see this in light of the big picture. Now, it doesn't necessarily mean, you know, I'm moving in with the guy, but I see him in light of what Christ did. See? And God makes this stuff, He makes it right. Isn't that awesome? You know, in Romans it talks about overcoming evil with good, not being overcome by evil. You know, and that word overcome, it's the word conquer. We're more than conquerors through who? Through Christ. See? In Romans, in light of that love and walking in light of who we are in Christ, it's we don't want to be conquered by evil. Which is to act like the world acts. See? That's not who we are. That's not what we were bought for. See? That's pretty awesome. I totally forgot where I was. Colossians 3. On the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things in the earth. And you are dead. Literally, it's you died. That's how it should read. You died. And your life is hid. With who?
Christ.
With Christ. In God. Now, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with Him in glory. Talks about this in Romans 8 too. See? That day's coming. That day's coming. You know, we're going to be gathered together with Jesus Christ. And we are going to participate in what is referred to as the day of Christ. That which will be going on on the earth is called the day of the Lord. A little different. But we're going to be with our Lord Jesus Christ. And in that time, we will be presented to the Father. You know, what's that going to look like? I don't know. But then we will come back with Christ to this earth. We'll appear with him in what? In glory. And from that point forward, or from the gathering forward, we're going to forever be with the Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 4 on our way to closing, back in 2 Corinthians 5. Actually, not quite on our way. We're going to bypass it. But I wanted to read these verses. Let's start in verse 14 of 4. Knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might, through the thanksgiving of many, redound or abound to the glory of God. See? For which cause we faint not. We don't get discouraged. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a what?
No.
But for a moment, worketh for us, or it produces for us, a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. There's many scriptures you can look at in God's Word to get a greater understanding of this verse. But the things that God has in store for us, we won't be disappointed. So, it's but for a moment. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are what? Not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. You know, in Colossians it was, set your affection on things above. Now let's go back to 2 Corinthians and close in 5. 2 Corinthians 5. I'm going to read verse 14 again. For the love of Christ constrains us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore, henceforth know we no man after or according to the what? Isn't that something? That's big picture stuff right there. To know no man after or according to the flesh. That's big picture. That's in light of what this thing is all about. That's in light of what God is going to do in making things right through Jesus Christ. Whether it's a born-again one or one who's not born again. Do you see it? And that big picture, boy, it just changes how you approach it. It changes how you see things. It changes how you react to things. See, we grow in this. Therefore, if any man, I'm sorry, I didn't finish that verse. Yea, though we have known Christ after or according to the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more after or according to the flesh. See, right now, Jesus Christ is seated above every principality, power, might, dominion, every name that's named. Isn't that something? All authority has been given unto him. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new what?
New creation.
any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. All those who have confessed Jesus as Lord and believe that God raised him from the dead are in Christ. Therefore, they are a new creation. They had that life from God. Old things are passed away. Behold, it should read, behold, the new is come. And all things, or all new things, are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Isn't that something? You know, we're reconciled to God by way of Jesus Christ. And you and I have the right to reconcile others by speaking God's word, so that they too can partake of that life from God and be in Christ and have eternal life. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you, in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. You know what he's encouraging these Corinthian believers to do is to live it. Live it. Live who you are in Christ. The Corinthians at this time were caught up in the flesh. They weren't seeing the big picture. You know? Isn't that something? What they were digging on was being a part of this body over here called Paul, and this body over here called Christ, and this body over here called Apollos, this body over here called Cephas. Isn't that something? They were all caught up in that stuff. They weren't seeing it. They weren't seeing the big picture. And here, what they're being encouraged to do is live it. Stop it. Live it. See? We're in Christ. Isn't that something? Verse 21, for he, meaning God, hath made him, Christ, to be sin for us who what? Knew no sin. That we might be made the righteousness of God in him. In Christ. It's breathtaking. We're righteous. You know, we're righteous before God. We can come before God without any sense of shame, guilt, condemnation, because we're where? In Christ. We're in Christ. Isn't that something? And what we read in Romans is an accomplished reality. That old man's dead. God doesn't see it. He sees Christ. See? That's how we want to see one another. But again, that big picture comes into play, doesn't it? You know, the end. Because sometimes, you know, this life and the things that come up, and, you know, sometimes we get hurt. And sometimes just things come up in life, and I understand that. And I'm not belittling those things, but to see it in light of the big picture. Because the day is absolutely coming, you know, when we are going to return to this earth with Jesus Christ. Ah! It's just breathtaking. So, amen? Amen. Amen.